paranormaltalkradio.com. Now, Portal Paranormal Talk Radio brings you your hosts, Tuesday Miles and...
And welcome to Portal Paranormal Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tuesday Miles.
And I'm Angela Thomas.
Hello, Angela Thomas. How are you?
Hello, Tuesday Miles. How about you?
I'm okay. I'm good. Kind of been, you know, we've had some off and on weird weather here. But, you know, and in, I don't know whether it's just the weather or what it is on it. But, you know, I mean, just it's just been weird lately.
Well, you know, the weather is weird all over the world.
I hear that. And I think that also, too, and I won't go into details about it, but I had a really, I talked with you about it earlier, but I had a really bizarre dream.
I know it. Very strange.
I swear, you know, you have these dreams once in a while that you wake up and you're just hysterical, and you're just thinking to myself, okay, now, because of the fact is, I'm a psychic medium, does this dream have really any significant message to it? Do I need to pay attention to it? Is it just something subconsciously that I brought into the dream? But I'll tell you, Angela, you know, this is the one where it really challenges my thoughts, my messages on how much I should be into it or how much I should just say, I'll let it go and let it pass and move forward from it. But I'll have to say to you, I'm not looking forward to the fact is that if it's going to continue, it scared the living heck out of me.
Well, Tuesday, I do believe that dreams are help us with our minds and our emotions. And, of course, you being a psychic medium and all, I really don't believe that it was anything precognitive or a premonition. But I know that you had some feelings with it and you experienced certain things in it that were very real. So, you know, I would just say as, you know, one to interpret dreams that, you know, it's just changes coming aboard.
Oh, you know, and I mind you that I want to go there with that idea, and I want to believe in that idea, and I'm going to dismiss it, you know, and just go with what you said on this, Angela. But I have to say that when, you know, and especially, you know, because let me just stop there real fast, because my husband has said to me, why don't you look in your dream book? And I says, I don't want to. I don't want to go there this time with that, you know, because I didn't want to, you know, I mean, and by all means that dream books, you know, they can give you a basic definition about what some kind of symbols are in a dream. But, you know, I just didn't want to look up whatever what that symbol was and then find out that says that, well, that, you know, I mean, you're going to have bad luck the rest of your life or something like that, you know. Didn't want to go there.
Well, you know, Tuesday, for our listeners that are listening live, we also carry a virtual auditorium on paltalk.com. And one of our listeners in the auditorium is asking you, Tuesday, what was the dream?
Well, Angela, you know, I was dreaming quite a bit, actually. I knew I was dreaming beforehand, but the only amount of the dream that I remember is that all of a sudden, there was somebody that was next to me talking to me in front of my house, and they took off running, and there was some sort of a blade. It was a blade. And it had a very sharp edge on it. And it wasn't that the blade was attached to anybody's hand. It wasn't anything like this. It's just this type of blade. It all of a sudden showed up, and it was my choice whether to jump over it, and that was my thought the whole time, was just to jump over it to clear it, and I made the wrong mistake. Instead of me jumping over, I should have went under it. And when I jumped, went to go try to jump over it, it sliced my throat, and it sliced it all the way. It was so fast, and the blade was so sharp that it was just razor sharp. And I actually felt myself die instantly.
Oof.
And I lifted, my spirit lifted up out of my body. And so, I mean, it was just, I mean, I felt and knew I had just died. So, meaning on that, I went to, you know, and it didn't cut off all my head, but it wasn't violent that way. My head fell on the floor, but I just knew that it had sliced enough to where it killed me instantly. And that's when I sat up out of the dream. So, of course, mind you that the fact is that maybe, you know, I wouldn't have disturbed me so much had it just cut my throat and that was it, you know, I mean, but I felt and I knew I died right at that spot. Right then I knew I died. And I actually felt my spirit coming up out of my body. So on that note,
well, you know, I do believe that when we when we experience something emotional or mental or physical in a dream, again, it's not always precognitive what it is. It's really, we're being told, pay attention to the changes that are about to take place. Because, you know, you carry a very busy schedule Tuesday.
I do.
So you may not be giving enough attention to certain changes coming your way. So, you know, I think that it's actually a blessing that you receive such
a dream. Well, I don't know. You know, Angela, you know, if I'm going to be given blessings, I can give you a list of other blessings.
Yes, but we can't, you know, go out and pick and choose our blessings.
So, I know that, but, you know, I mean, it's just... And you know, and our listeners know how much of it, you know, I mean, when I tell you something, I don't hide my emotions. If I'm going to boo-hoo about something, I boo-hoo right on the air. So, by that mean, and our listeners know by now that I'm not one to say any of this stuff, even anything paranormal or any of the other stuff, really doesn't bother me at all. Nothing really phases me, doesn't bother me, doesn't scare me. This dream did.
Mm.
And so it just, and I have to say, Angela, that it's going to go back again to the part where I felt and knew I just died. And I don't think that anybody, you know, that when we get into our dreams, whether we have a dream that if we die in, you still just don't get that sensation, that true feeling of you dying. I mean, that's what this was actually let me feel what it was like to die. So, you know, I mean, I'm not going to really keep dwelling on it. I'm going to talk about it today and let it go tomorrow. And I think that would be
well, no tears and no being upset on the show because tonight we're bringing on Frank Madrid.
Oh, you know, I like Frank. Now, Frank, this is the thing about Frank Madrid. He's with the Arizona Paranormal Society team, out in Arizona, of course. And there was a case that was presented to me, a client in Las Vegas, Nevada, who needed some help, big time help. And so there just was, not to say that not the investigators in Las Vegas are really good, but we just needed somebody with some more experience and a little bit more people on their team and stuff. And so I contacted Frank, which is 8 hours away from Las Vegas, and he stepped up to the plate to bring his team into Vegas to help this client.
Wow.
And I, in itself, thought that was just... an awesome thing, even though I'm in California and I'm about 6 hours away from this client, which would have been fine. We're all meeting together in Vegas and stuff. But I also love the fact that he has some really awesome equipment that they're testing that's been successful in their cases that they helped others with. And the documentation that they do, they take this very seriously. They're very professional when they do this. They keep an open mind, also with using psychics on their team. So I just felt that they show... such a great example about what a team really should be doing when doing investigations. And I just thought that we needed to use them as a great example for things. And wait, one more thing. They play and they capture excellent EVPs on their, that they've recorded, yeah.
Well, I heard one earlier today, and I have to tell you, I thought, ooh, that is spooky.
Yeah.
Spooky.
You know,
we'll definitely have to play that tonight.
You know, you think of them as being spooky. I have to say, though, Angela, and I've said this to our listeners before, I'm not real fond of EVPs. Myself capturing them. Other people capturing them, that's fine. When I capture them, it just gives me the EVPs. I would rather not, you know. Talk outside of the house. Just don't, you know, and I should be used to it by now. My God, I should be used to it. But, you know, once in a while, I'll throw my camera and my recorders on even at home. And they just, right away, they'll talk right into my recorders. I'm thinking, would you please stop that? I don't want to hear it.
Well, don't you feel, though, just it's kind of like we get an opportunity to eavesdrop on the other side.
You know what? That's so true. And I was asking, too, and I have to ask this question when Frank comes on about the difference, because I noticed that some of them sound like they're in tunnels. I for one, have a couple of EVPs that you can definitely tell they're talking through, like, a tunnel. They sound like they're in a tunnel. It's so clear like this. Whereas the other ones sound like they're standing right next to you. So I wonder if there's a big difference on that. The case is that are they actually talking to us from the other side, from where they're at, or are they actually where we're at? So, and if there's a way that the investigators can tell with the EVPs that they receive.
Yeah, either that or, you know, they are, if on the other side, they're in it from another dimension, which is absolutely crazy. I mean, we could always ask questions over and over again about why do spirits sound sometimes like they're in a tunnel and other times they're just very clear, like you and I speaking.
Well, you know,
I do believe a lot of spirits are literally in our environment and cannot escape it or, you know. Well, I take that back. Some can, some can't.
You know, Andrew, that's a good question I want to ask about that, because here it is that, is it that the other side is another dimension? It, can we put that in that category?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you know what? That's another question we're going to have to ask physicist Dr. Russell Targ, which is coming on now on March the 13th, and he is a retired physicist, but he's also the one that created the remote viewing program for the CIA.
Hey, another smart guy, huh?
So, you know, a physicist would be able to explain to us exactly about dimensions, not only on a scientific side, but he also is very aware of, you know, all of the psi abilities people have. And so he'd be able to really delve into that.
So we're going to have to do our homework again, because you get all these smart people on the show.
Don't you just love smart people?
I swear.
Don't you just love scientists that work with the paranormal?
You know what? And of course it's supposed to go hand in hand, but you know, when they start talking, you know, in that sense where it's on a scientific, logical, you know, and I'm thinking not all things can be proved by science, and in a logical way, that some things are seen as believing and believing as seen. And
well, you know, it's very hard to explain or prove one's own subjective experience. So one cannot prove Tuesday that you smell apples. You know the smell of apples.
Right.
But how are they going to prove really that you smell apples?
You know,
that's your own subjective experience.
Maybe that be true on that, on it. You know, and there is also something else. In fact, I've got a couple announcements, but real quickly on this. You know, and Deborah Pickman, who is the woman who had lived in the Sally House.
Ooh, I love her.
You know, and so we've had her on the show a couple times, and she went under a kind of attack by someone who made remarks like, you know, do you think that you're a pro now because you lived and survived a haunting? And, you know, she really got ridiculed about this, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because if the, you know, people don't understand, if they have not been through a horrific haunting, I mean, meaning that a member of their family was hurt from this, scratched, beat, slapped from an unknown source, I mean, a phenomenon or supernatural source, and the events that go along with it, you know, I mean, they ended up fleeing their house, leaving it behind, I mean, people don't understand what these clients go through when they've you know, experienced a haunting like this. And what happens is that we go into this research mode where we research everything and anything. Just an enormous amount of hours for information just to find out the whys. Why is this happening to us? You know, how is it happening to us? To educate ourselves, to lose the fear in regarding this. And so it becomes where I believe that most people who have gone through something like this end up really advising others about how they've gone through it and how to get past it, or they become very active in the paranormal community in regarding it. And so if I want to call them a pro at what it is, it might be that they're a pro at surviving what they had gone through and that they are now well-educated about the information that has to go with the paranormal, you know, on it. And so to give them a little bit of credit, I mean, I bless Deborah's sweetheart and her family, because I have to say she's done an awful lot of helping others also, too, that's gone through something like they have on it. And so give her the pro. I mean, what's the big deal?
Well, I consider her a pro because, you know, Tuesday, anybody that goes through what the Pickmans have gone through, not only the experience themselves, but they, too, have learned about paranormal investigations and everything else that comes along with it, just from calling in those teams, calling in those psychics, and really researching everything about it.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, maybe they didn't start out as a pro, they just started out as those experiencing bizarre paranormal activity, but But now they have learned. They've become a professional investigator through that whole experience. So, you know, and there's always going to be people that criticize others. But I really have to give the Pickmans a lot of, you know, cheers because, you know, they are sharing with us about their experiences and what did happen and what can happen.
Yeah.
And it's such a fascinating story. So I'm hoping that we have Deborah Pickman coming on very, very soon to talk about the Sally House.
Yep, we do. I booked her on the show because they've had some new things that have been happening there again. And another, and I can't remember who it was that was in the house, but we'll know then when she comes on the show, who got thrown again and got hurt with a concussion from something that was unseen. So on it. But I have a couple announcements first on this, too. There is a new scary movie coming out, real life story. It's called A Haunting in Connecticut. It was also called from it's aired already on the Discovery Channel as a documentary called The Haunting. At one time Lorraine and Ed Warren were part of the investigators on the case, and it's about a family that moves to Connecticut for their son Matt, who has cancer, and after moving into this house he starts experiencing a lot of paranormal activity and stuff. And so you know, I've seen the trailers come out for it. It looks interesting on it. I thought maybe it was the same movie or story that Ed and Lorraine Warren were being sued on, but it's not. And so thank God for that they're free and clear of this one, and the story is being told about what happened to this little boy. But, you know, me and kids, when you start telling stuff about your kid, what happened to them, you know, I would say wait till they're 18 so they have a voice on whether or not they want people to know about something that was personal to them, that happened just to them, you know, on it. And hopefully this Matt child, the story's about, is at that age. And he can actually help in making, you know.
Well, I'd say it has to be a very difficult decision for any parent out there to decide whether or not they would bring in any outsiders or third parties into the scene. And I can say from experience, or not from experience, but out of my opinion, Tuesday, that if something unusual, especially to that extreme, was happening to one of my own family members, I would pull every resource possible and, you know, deal with the child's opinion about it in adulthood much later on, because a parent cannot handle a situation all on their own. Making it public, and, you know, I'm not saying so much of making a movie. I don't see anything wrong with it, but, you know, maybe somebody else would. But still, making that public and known, it also helps for future research. It helps individuals understand that these things happen to common people.
Oh, absolutely true. I agree with you on that. There's a guest in our virtual auditorium, Ayanna, that's asking where and when on channel is it showing. It's going to be at the theaters. They made a big motion picture about it, Ayanna. So it's a full-length movie called A Haunting in Connecticut. So you can Google that name, and there's been lots of information and trailers on there that you can view for yourself and find out more information.
Well, we'll have to bring them on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and talk about the case.
Absolutely, on it. And
good timing.
Absolutely. And then we have another announcement, you know, although it's already going on, but in Laughlin, Nevada, this weekend, they're having that big UFO conference, and it starts actually tonight. So if you're heading out by in Nevada or around that area, and Stephen Laughlin's out by Bullhead City, too, it's a great place to have a good time. I know the place well on it and stuff, and lots to do there. So they're having a big conference there, and I believe one of our other hosts on her show, Karen Dolan, is there also, too. So look her up while you're out there. And I think it was really short on my announcements this week on it. Well, let me make sure I don't have any other ones. So,
have you ever been out there before?
Oh, yes. I have a family home out there, so I know the area well. In fact, I always say that there's UFOs that are around the there's a couple big bridges out there that have the dams. That's what it is. And I always felt that there's, you know, the dams put off an enormous amount of electricity energy, that their UFOs have been spotted a lot out in that area. You know, and which is something that I probably would not hang around looking for. As much as I would, you know, I don't mind spotting the ghosts, you know, that I can handle.
So you wouldn't be one of the individuals hanging out of Area 51.
Hell no.
Now, you know, I'm just joking around, because I have to admire those individuals that go out there and take the risk of being detective by the government and security and really check things out. I know that Joe Montaldo, who has the Paranormal Radio Network, is an expert in ufology, and I know that last year we all listened live when he did a remote from Roswell. So that was very interesting, and I know that everybody has a lot to offer with their experiences and their research. Do you ever think that they're ever going to open up that Area 51?
Oh, I think they do. They do a lot of things out there. They have conventions all, you know, out there and stuff. Who knows? One day maybe. Not ever. Oh, the virtual auditorium say no, not ever.
Do you think
ever.
It would be part of under Obama's transparency?
Right now he's got to worry about his people. I think the little
okay.
green men are like, you know, on it. Real quickly, in also in Newport, Rhode Island, at the Belcourt Castle, they're having a big psychic fair this weekend. So go hang out there if you're in the Rhode Island area. It's at 657 Boulevard, Belvoir Avenue in Newport. That's what it is. So they're having that big psychic fair out there. And I think there's one more announcement. Let me make sure. Nope, I think that's it on it for our announcements on it. I know the events page on the portal site that you can find, you know, some of the other events that are
all kinds of events on portaltalkradio.com.
And we have about a minute before we bring our guest on, Frank Madrid from Arizona Paranormal Society. And so on that note, well, we've got about, 15 seconds. Angela, anything from you before we get off the air?
No, not at all. Just, stay tuned to the Portal Paranormal Talk Radio Show, and up next is Frank Madrid.
Yeah, we're going to be playing some of his EVPs that are pretty awesome, actually, on it.
Mm-hmm.
Wait for those on it. You know, when somebody tells you to get out, you know, I think you got to get out. So we'll be right back in a few minutes. You're listening to Portal Paranormal Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tuesday Miles.
And I'm Angela Thomas.
Be right back. I like your pants around your feet. I like the dirt from your knees. I like the way you feel so pleased while you're looking up at me. You're like my favorite fantasy. I love the blaze that we go. I love to be right in the. I love the way you can say no. And any moment I see you.
You are listening to the Paranormal Radio Network. Here again are your hosts, Tuesday
Morning
and Angela Thomas.
And welcome back to Portal Paranormal Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tuesday Miles.
And I'm Angela Thomas.
And we have on our phone line Frank Madrid, who's with the Arizona Paranormal Research Society. And how are you, Frank? Nice to have you.
I'm fine. Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, well, you know what, though? I mean, you and I met only through a client that needed some help in Arizona and in Las Vegas, and so I was bragging a little bit earlier about the fact is that you stepped up to the plate, even though this is about 6 to 8 hours away from you, and quite a long drive, and that, you know, I just felt that was just, you know, awesome that, you know, here it is, this family needs some help, and there wasn't anybody local, and you said, yeah, no problem, we'll be there, you know, and even though we haven't been able to get back out there for them, because obviously that they're, you know, things have calmed down quite a bit, but still, I thought that was pretty cool, and you and I talked about this, you know, equipment that you have, and I have to say that you're doing some leaps and bounds on the documentary stuff that you do with your investigations. How did your team start?
Well, it started late in 2006, and we were with another group that shall be nameless back east, and I just didn't like the way that the administration was working the team members, and so we decided to start a group here in Arizona, and that way we could just help, you know, everybody in Arizona. And so little by little, we built up our team, and we started out with 3 people, and it turned to 4, and then 6, and 12, and now we have 21 members.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So we're able to cover the entire state of Arizona, and we recently went out to Long Beach, and we investigated the swimming pool area of the Queen Mary, and so we're kind of branching out a little bit, but the client in Las Vegas, you know, appreciate your kind words, Tuesday. I mean, it's something that all paranormal groups should do is, and you know, the name of the game is helping the client, because when they give you a call, you know, they're frightened, they are confused, and they're upset, and it really affects them, affects their lives in general. And
sure.
They really need help by people that are understanding and available, you know, to serve them. And so, you know, we provide that service free of charge, of course, and we help the client as much as we can. We validate any reported paranormal activity, excuse me, and then we try to give them options on which route they would like to take. But number one, you know, we're finding that once the clients understand that there is something in their house and that they're not going crazy and there is no medication or prescription medication interaction with each other, and you know, they tend to lighten up a little bit, and then they turn that fear into a fascination, and they seem to be, you know, real calm with it. Once they learn how to, you know, handle themselves and to understand what's going on, and you know, that's part of helping the client too. You know, a lot of
it's
times
by teaching them about educating them about
right
what they can expect or what you feel that it's, you know, a diagnosing or whatever it type of case it is on it, and so it empowers them as far as educating them. Is that how
correct
you feel that what does okay.
Correct.
That's cool.
That's all part of it, is education, understanding, and helping them.
Wow. Well, Frank, do you find that families think of paranormal phenomenon as something to fear, or as you said, some of them really now start to become comfortable now that they're educated about it? But are there families out there that say, hey, Frank, you and the team, please don't leave? I mean, is there, after you do an investigation, what happens after that point?
Well, after we do an investigation, we talk to the client. We provide them with 24/7 service. In other words, they can call us day or night if anything should happen. And we try to talk them down with it, you know, just to calm them down and everything like that until we get all the evidence analyzed. And with all the recorders and DVR cameras we have going and our own handheld cameras, it's a lot of evidence to go over. And during that time, of course, you know, we'll call them and find out how they're doing, everything's okay, you know, is everything calming down, and we'll update them with what we're, you know, that we're getting close to being done with our evidence, and then we
mm-hmm.
will schedule an appointment and come out to their home and sit down with them, show them what we caught. If we didn't catch anything, we let them know, and you know, if there isn't anything there, then, you know, there's other things to look at, such as the medication thing. There's a lot of clients that have maybe two or three doctors that prescribe medications that they really don't know, you know, what each other has prescribed, and they interact with each other, causing hallucinations and hearing
voices.
Oh,
I see. I see.
And so,
well, Frank,
know,
let me...
I'm sorry.
Let me ask you about your investigations. Have you ever had any surprises, something that surprised you or your team while on the investigation?
Yes, we have. In one instance, there was a client that called us, and during our interview, our phone interview process, you know, we asked questions about the occult and everything, and she said that she used to practice witchcraft 10 years ago, and she hasn't done it since then. And she was describing the activity that was going on in her home, you know, and you know, if you're into this for a long time, you would consider it kind of normal, you know, doors opening and closing, strange smells happening,
mm-hmm.
Then hearing voices and lights turning off and on, and, you know, so on and so forth. Objects disappearing and reappearing in other points of the house.
Ooh, you mean an apparition? Disappearing and reappearing?
No, well, a lot of times they'll see shadows and possibly full-bodied apparitions, but we've only gotten some partial ones. I've seen the torso of this, you know, person that looked like a man over here. And, you know.
Just the torso? Did you show you the torso area?
Yeah, just the torso from the waist up.
You know, where's the rest of your body?
Yes, you would call it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And so what happened was when the team got there, she kind of changed the story a little bit and said that, you know, well, you know, I was practicing witchcraft and I stopped 3 years ago. And so that changed right then and there. And so during the investigation inside, one of the members noticed a basket that was full of tarot cards, candles, and crystals, and just all kinds of things in there. And so when he took a picture of that, something happened, and he could not get up anymore. He was pulled down to the ground, and he could not get up. And he had a huge pain in his back. They took him out of the room. Another investigator had her neck pushed in so far that she couldn't breathe properly anymore. And the whole thing about this was when one of the investigators sat down on the stairs that had his was getting attacked on his back by a lot of pain. The other member took an EMF meter to his back, and his back was spiking, a very high reading for human skin, you know, and I believe it was like a 6.0, and that's, you know, ridiculous for
wow.
human skin. But so there was something on his back, you know. In other words, the client lied to us, and, you know, and when a client lies to a paranormal team that's investigating their home, it pretty much it jeopardizes the whole team, because, you know, we got to have safety on mind also, and you know, that's the first thing that you have to take care of is everybody's safety, because when you go into a situation, you know, you never know what you're going to run into, and at this situation we ran into a very malevolent spirit that was really wreaking havoc with everybody that was there. It turned out that she was still practicing witchcraft, opened up a door, and allowed some very bad spirits to come into her home, and they just hung around. And, you know, that's what happens when the clients don't give you the full story.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and I can see also, too, it's the fact is that whether they're, you know, if they feel that they disclose something, whether or not they're not going to be believable. You know, and so it is important for them, you know, when we're asking details on it. You know, I mean, unfortunately, we do need to ask some personal questions that might be uncomfortable, but how can we help them more if we don't know, you know, what we need to know in regard to it. It can be, you're absolutely right, totally dangerous. Now, Frank, when you're taking these EVPs, because you've got some awesome EVPs on your site, let's give out your website address, which is www.TAZ, that's .com. How do you pronounce that?
You don't. We just say TAZPS.
Okay, so it's TAZPS.com.
Right.
And there on his, you can also listen to these EVPs there. If you can't hear it real clear on the portal show, that you can, some of them, not all of them. There's a couple that Frank sent to me that has not been on his site yet that you can still listen to them. Or on the portal website, which is Portal Talk. PortalTalkRadio.com, you can hear them on the front page there too on it. But do you hear these yourself, or is it just the recorder that you're able to pick up these voice phenomenons?
That's kind of a story in itself. We've been experimenting with providing energy into the atmosphere of a home that has reported paranormal activity. And, you know, the whole reason behind this was that, you know, Duracell batteries are very expensive, and every time we went on investigations, we'd go through so many batteries, it was just ridiculous. And, of course, all of this is out of our pocket, so, you know, we're figuring, well, you know, let's just, they take our energy, they drain our batteries, let's just give them some energy so they'll leave our batteries alone.
Okay.
And when we started making our experimental devices that give out energy, we found that our batteries drain less, and at some times, the EVPs that we are recording, we are able to hear some of them with our ears.
Wow.
So, if you can picture all, four of us in a bedroom asking questions, and all of a sudden we're getting answers coming from the closet, and we go over to the closet and there's nobody in there, just coming right out of thin air. So, the energy that we are providing to the spirits, we started dwelling on that and coming up with more devices that give out different types of energy. That way they can have a choice on which energy they really want. And it just seems to work out very well. On our investigations page off of our website, we did capture a shadow person from the armory and also from the Cottonwood, Arizona investigation. Now, the Cottonwood investigation was a really strange one because we were still, experimenting with these devices, still researching them, and we're still researching them to this day. But what happened was we had a recorder by the front door, and we had the camera pointed towards the front door. We had Lori and the client. They were sitting on her bed in her room, and us guys were outside monitoring the monitor and the equipment. And what we got on DVR camera was a shadow peeking in from the left side of the frame, looking over at the two girls in the bed. We got a recording of him saying, "Nice," and then backing out.
Oh, no.
Nice about the girls, or perverted nice, or nice?
The theory is that, you know, you take your consciousness with you, your feelings, your emotions, mm-hmm. and everything else with you, and if this guy has a little bit of perversion on his side, maybe he was commenting on what he was seeing.
Oh, goodness. Mm. Well, Frank, can you share with our listeners what a shadow person is or a shadow spirit is?
Well, that could be there's a few different theories going on out there. One of the theories is that it is a full body apparition that has not manifested itself completely, or it doesn't mm-hmm. know how to. Another one is that it's a dark entity. There has been a lot of the theory that it could be possible alien. It very well could be, you know, part of the old theory of the hat man, that a lot of shadow people are seen wearing hats, fedora hats, big brimmed hats, some are
right.
wearing cowboy hats, but it's, you know, their own choice to be wearing what they want. But I feel that it is a spirit. you know, just like in this life, there are good people and there are bad people. And in the other side, in the other dimension, you know, if you carry if your conscious survives into the next, you know, transitions into the next realm, then, you know, chances are that you're going to be the exact same way. In other words, if you're a mean old man in this life, when you die and you're on the other side, you're a mean old man in that life too, you know?
So, right, if you choose to stay here as far as on an earthbound level, is that what you're saying? As long as, like, their choices, for instance, if they decide to stay as an earthbound spirit, meaning that they chose not to go through their full transition. Okay.
Correct.
Well, Frank, you know, not long ago we had Dr. Lloyd Auerbach on the show, and one of the things that he brought to attention is the fact that spirits, when they start to come into full apparition, are wearing clothing, right? You know, the flowing gown or whatever the case
right.
may be. And, you know, he said, where are they getting the clothing on the spiritual side? So he suggested that spirits are manifesting how they want to be perceived. Do you think that shadow people that are staying dark or, you know, maybe wearing the fedora sort of thing is really doing that to have people perceive them to be something bad because they're not coming to light?
I would think that absolutely. I think that would be a very good theory to have on that. You know, the shadow people that we've seen in the armory, for instance, the camera was panning, and then there was just a dark figure by the door that was moving to the left. Now, this didn't have the full form of arms and legs, but it did have a protrusion on the top of the oval form that it was in as it was moving across, indicating some sort of a head. But, you know, maybe it wasn't completely done manifesting itself. Maybe they only just want to show what, you know, as you said before, what they want them to be perceived as. So, you know, it's a very interesting theory, and I could agree with them completely.
Wow. On it, you know,
yeah.
I listened to one of your, and I have asked this question, I guess, you know, quite a few times about, you know, why is it that they don't talk about God, for instance, or they don't talk about angels, or they don't talk about Jesus Christ, that there has been, I have only heard just a small handful of EVPs that even mention any of that. And you do have one on your site that does say Jesus Christ in it. And that, to me, is extremely rare for you to capture them. Do you remember when you had done that EVP on it? I believe it says here, it's under the Grand Hotel in Jerome,
right.
Arizona, that you captured one that did say on there, Jesus Christ.
Right. Now,
was there any question that you used with that?
That was the in what we call the burn room. It's going to be, they're remodeling it. It was the operating room, and they're remodeling it into a three-bedroom hotel suite. And during the remodeling process, some of the material they were putting on the walls, it smelled like burned wood. So we just started calling the room the burn room because it just, you know, smelled like it was burnt. But we did get a lot of different EVP in that room, and one of them was Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if they were saying that in like in the way we would say, you know, oh, Jesus Christ, or they were saying, calling his name as religious sort of calling. But nonetheless, you know, there just seems to be a lot of different types of spirits in that hotel, and it's a very active hotel, and it's probably one of the most haunted hotels here in Arizona.
Oh, wow. Hey, do you notice the difference of the ghosts that are in Arizona versus other places? I mean, I would think that you would get a lot of maybe cowboys and Indians and you know, I mean, because there's a lot of history throughout Arizona. Do you find them different?
The same question arose with me about EVP in different languages.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of more or less on the same line. If you are speaking in a language that a deceased person only spoke, then if you spoke in a language that he understands, then quite possibly you will get a response in that same language. But as far as the cowboys and the Indians, we have got an EVP of an Indian speaking with speaking English with the Indian accent. Now,
cool.
I've lived in Flagstaff for a long time, and I've spoken with a lot of Native Americans up there, and they have a particular accent. And this person was speaking back to us when we were asking if George was there, and it was a very loud, clear, below 300 hertz level, and he said, "No, George left. Goodbye." And,
wow.
I believe I sent that EVP to you.
Okay, so let me ask Angela or you, Frank, did you just drop something?
No, I didn't.
Angela?
No.
Okay, because I'm actually getting back feedback from, I don't know if you guys are hearing that, but I'm hearing, I just heard like a very large, loud clank, like something just was dropped or broke on it, and I keep hearing some background chatter, actually. Did anybody else hear that? Is hearing that on the air?
I did not.
Okay, I would not be surprised if the fact is, we have often gotten AVPs on the show when we're playing a show on it and stuff. So on it. Well, Angela, we've got about 5 minutes left before we go to our first break on it. And so, do you want to? We could play an AVP now, or we can wait and we'll start. We'll get into that. I really wanted to ask Frank a little bit about his equipment, because you made a comment about that you were given energy to the ghost, and that way they left your batteries along. What kind of machine was that would help give them energy?
Well, spirits are made of energy. We use electromagnetic field devices, meters, to see if there's any fluctuation in the electromagnetic field that's in the area. And so we provide them with electromagnetic field energy. We also provide them with static electricity, and they're really hip on the ion theory. So
okay.
There's different kinds of energy that that we give them and at different levels in different combinations. We're still researching on what combinations do better, but we're narrowing it down pretty well, and we're very very close to providing research information to the world about it.
Well, it sounds like it, because I've seen most investigators, of course, that we get certain kind of ghost devices that we get stuck on using, and they swear by all the documentation that they're getting, that the EMF machines that they're getting, the guy counters, and so on and so forth. But I don't see anybody use the documentation and really put it on their site, showing that they're getting what results they're getting from it, and what can we determine from these readings on these certain ghost gadgets that they have. Then it steers to absolutely no, without a doubt, paranormal activity on it. But it seems that and like you said, that you haven't disclosed that information yet, because you want to make sure that it is what it is.
Right. And another thing about it is that we operate this machinery with nobody in the house, no children in the house. I mean,
okay.
We have a Jacob's ladder also, and usually when the arc gets to the top of that thing, it's about 100,000 volts, and that's putting out all kinds of different types of energy sources. And we don't run that in the house with any children. The only people that are in the house are a few of the investigators, and that is it. We're very safety conscious about what these things are doing. We're trying to find out, and hopefully they're not emitting any dangerous energy sources, but when you get into applying positive ions, then that's a bad thing, and we just don't want all the groups grabbing positive ion devices and going out there and flipping on the switch and making the clients sick, because it
right.
does. It makes you ill.
Oh yeah, because when you and I spoke about the positive ions, I was unaware of really not. Maybe in just hearsay passing, I've heard of something as such as that, but I really didn't understand that could be more of a harmful thing to us humans by
right.
having too much of it and stuff. And so, but then again, here it is that your machines that you are using is, and that's, it sounds so logical now to give them energy, and it helps them to actually be more recorded, because the fact is they have more energy, they're more clear. I mean, and that's the goal of this. I mean, if we can communicate with them, even by capturing their voice on an EVP, that's that's amazing. I mean, that's really, that's freaking amazing.
Right.
It is.
Yeah, we've got more equipment in the works right now. We've got a very good idea of real-time spirit communication, so we're probably going to be coming out with that maybe next at the end of this summer. So we're getting really close to having it actually work to our advantage. And so we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to some other devices that we made. Our tech guy, Randy Arbogast, he's combined a few of these energy-emitting devices into one, which provides a certain kind of effect that we really don't need as many boxes as we thought. So we're still.
So are you going to make that available to the public?
When our research is complete on it, yes.
We
want to make sure that no harm is going to come to spirits as well as the people involved.
Well, that's awesome. Thinking that we've got just about a couple of seconds left before we go to break, but we got to go to break. Shoot. Well, I'll say that question when we get back on it. And so we are going to break. We'll be back in a few minutes. And you're listening to Portal Paranormal Talk Radio with Tuesday Miles
and Angela Thomas.
And joining us tonight is Frank Bedred. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
To Portal Paranormal Talk Radio. Here again are your hosts, Tuesday Miles and Angela Thomas.